any compromise, but that won't change their minds. They're gonna win. Mighty men fall, throw the truth down. They're still overcomers, won't give up their crown, holding truth in their hand. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna fight. Somebody's gonna live a life that is right. There may be a great falling away, but God's got a people who cannot be swayed. Somebody has built on the rock, not the sand. Somebody's gonna stand. Under the gun of the enemy, there's a church marching on. Surely disaster will be all that's left at the break of dawn. What's it I see through that smoky sky? It's that holy banner still waving high. I can hear the victory band. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna fight. Somebody's gonna live a life that is right. There may be a great falling away, but God's got a people who cannot be swayed. Somebody has built on the rock, not the sand. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna stand. Somebody's gonna fight. Somebody's gonna live a life that is right. There may be a great falling away, God's got a people who cannot be swayed. Somebody has built on the rock, not the sand. Somebody's gonna stand. There may be a great falling away, but God's got a people who cannot be swayed. Somebody has built on the rock, not the sand. Somebody's gonna stand.
I want to be one of those people that's gonna stand. You know, you hear of people and things happening that you would never have thought would have happened. They would have never backslid. They would have never did this, that. But you know, what is gonna happen in the end is when we face God, it's gonna be us and God. Like, in other words, me standing before God. And it's my life. He's going to judge me. It's not going to be who hurt me, who talked about me, whatever. It's going to be what I did. And I want to live right. I want to live true. I want to hear him say, well done, when this life is over. You know, Kurt and I both have just about everybody in our family is either not serving the Lord or they're deceived. We have very few that are in our family that's really living how the Bible teaches and knows the truth. And you know, if I dwelt on that, that could really pull me down. It's sad, and I look at their lives and I think, how will they ever? Because some of them so deep, and it seems like every time I see them, it's, oh, you know, maybe they're deeper, or you just don't see no way out. But God is able. God is able to bring them out. But regardless, I've got to go on. I've had a taste of what's right. I know what's right. And I want to live right. I want to live true. I want to live a life that would be pleasing to God. I want to hear him say, well done. Pray for me.
Amen. That's right, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Good to be back in the house of God again tonight. Good to see everybody. We appreciate everything that you've done for us. We thank you so very much for the offering, for the meals that's been provided. Appreciated the meal provided today, Brother and Sister Daly. Appreciated them. I believe Brother Sonny and him, and Brother Dwayne the other day. We thank you so very much. Everything that you've done for us, just appreciate you. Appreciate the church here, the saints that are still faithful. We've been coming up here now for several years, and there's some of you, you've just been faithful. And I know that's the backbone of any church. Thank God for those people you can count on, some that you can depend on. You know, when the picnic's on, man, yes, sir, well, we got a crowd. We want to be there. Want some of that fried chicken, man. Want to play some volleyball. Amen. But when it's time to put your shoulder to the wheel, amen. We need some prayer warriors in the altar. Need some worshipers in the pew. Amen. Thank God for those that are there. Amen. We're not going to try to throw stones at the ones that's not here. We thank God for those that are here. Amen. Those of you that are faithful. It's so good to have Katie with us. Man, if we was going to give her an award tonight, we'd give it to Katie. I mean, she's the furthest away. I mean, she traveled the greatest distance to be here. Man, thank God. Appreciate Katie. So good to meet her. Good to have Sister Stacy and her trio with her. Amen. With us tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank God. God is good. We appreciate the presence of the Lord, the way God moved here last night. Has felt that wind blowing in here. Hallelujah. You know, you just can't underestimate what God can do. I was telling Joel today, I said, man, when in an atmosphere like that, you just feel faith rising. I told Joel, I think today, I said, man, when God's moving like that, you feel the presence of God. You just feel like God can do anything. And He can. He can. That's not a deception. That's not a false feeling. Amen. That's just the Holy Ghost impressing upon us the reality of what God can do. Amen. And what God will do. Amen. Not only that He can, but that He will. That He will. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to read tonight the book of Psalms. Chapter 29, Psalms 29. While you're turning there, I might share this with you just by way of preliminaries. I had to go out to New Mexico last month, and I had a flight from Albuquerque to Denver and was going to catch a flight there in Denver to Atlanta. We got on the flight, and the pilot got up. He got the intercom, and he said, we're going to have to ask everybody to get off the plane. They found a soft spot in the floor, and they're not going to let us fly. He said, it's the first time I've ever seen this happen. And sure enough, we had to all get off the plane and go get another flight. And a little over 2 hours later, we got a flight. Headed to Atlanta. It was a bigger plane. There was three seats on each side of the aisle, so there's a lot of empty seats. And I got a seat next to the window, and there's a seat in between me, and there's a fella got on. He got the aisle seat in between us. And he's real talkative, real friendly, you know, just as quick as he got on, he got to talking, and I could smell, you know, he'd been drinking a little alcoholic beverage, and, you know, he's asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a minister. You know, and I work part-time for this company. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm a believer, too. Yes, sir, I'm a believer, too. I mean, he got to doing his Hail Marys, you know. He's real spiritual over there. And I mean, as we're taking off, he's over there doing his Hail Marys and, you know, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. And he said, I was behind this fella in line the other day, and I overheard the guy say, oh, God, I need a cigarette. He said, oh, Jesus, I need a cigarette. He said, so I just went to my car, said, had a couple of cigarettes. I got him one, come back, handed it to him. I said, God heard your prayer. God heard your prayer. So you know how spiritual he was. Well, we got up so high, and, you know, the stewardess come around as they do, serving drinks. That's about all you get nowadays. They even do good. Sometimes they don't even give you a drink, but we did get a drink, thank the Lord. And they come around, and he got him an alcoholic beverage of some kind. I don't know exactly what it was. And he'd got him another one, and he'd asked for the third one. I don't know what the stewardess said to him, but some way or another she turned him down. She wouldn't let him have that third one. Well, that upset him. You know, he's a little bit upset. He began to tell her, you know, the whole story of what he had been through that day, the ordeal, and he had had to get another flight, and they'd rerouted his plane. I mean, just the whole 9 yards, and he's, you know, he's a paying customer and ought to be able to get what he pays for. You know, well, they're trying to persuade him. You know, there's two of them, two stewardess trying to talk to this man, trying to reason with him. They finally brought him a cup of coffee, and he's, you know, going to give him a sobriety test. He's going to let them know, I'm not drunk. You know, they didn't ask him to walk the white line, so he's just going to take that cup of coffee. And sure enough, he took that cup of coffee and set it on top of his head and give him a sobriety test. And that stewardess, you know, the whole time, she's like, no, don't do that. But sure enough, he did. He balanced it on his head. He took it back down, set it back down. And, well, he's still going on, and they're trying to reason with him. Looked like getting nowhere with this gentleman, you know, trying to let him know that he's, you know, had too much to drink or whatever. They're trying to be very nice about it. Well, it just come to me. I'm sitting over there, and he's been, you know, real religious anyway. So I just reached over there and tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, buddy, do you think we could have prayer? I'm telling you, he just reached out and took me by the hand, reached across the aisle, took that stewardess by the hand. He wants her to get in on this, too. He don't want her to be left out of this prayer meeting. So I just said a little prayer, you know. I just said a little prayer. I said, now, Lord, you know what a rough day this fellow's had and all the stress he's been under. Lord, would you just calm his nerves and just give him peace? And, you know, something along that line. I just said a little prayer, and I'm telling you, that fellow, that looked like just like he'd got another drink. I'm telling you, he just calmed right down. He said, thank you. He said, I feel such peace. That stewardess, she stood up, and she looked over there at me, and she said, thank you. Thank you. Looked like she was just thrilled her, you know. I'm telling you, God knows how to work, don't he? God knows how to work. He's beautiful for every situation. That man kept thanking me the rest of the flight. He kept telling me, you know, he said, I feel such peace. He said, I didn't need another drink anyway. I'd had too many, even just the rest of that flight. He was thanking me, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. God touched that man. Pray he'd touch him in other ways. Psalm 29. The first two verses here, he said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. We need your prayers tonight. Pray that the Lord would anoint us. Let his presence be manifested here. His word have free course. And most of all, to meet with us in these altars. Amen. Brother Christie, would you lead us in prayer?
Mighty God, tonight, Lord, we're thankful that we can be here. Lord, once again, Lord, we need your touch tonight and ask God,
hallelujah,
Lord, to move this place, God. Let us feel, Lord, that
yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Last night. And Lord, come back here.
Granted,
Lord,
God.
Touch each one of us, Lord, individually, God. We need to stir within our hearts and our souls. And Father, Lord, we look to you, God, the one that is Lord, the great I am,
yes,
God
Lord.
Above all the gods of this world, and pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts and in our souls and
hallelujah.
Weaken us together,
yes, Lord.
Mighty God, and Lord, we thank you for it, Lord, and pray that you would, Lord, especially move upon your servant tonight, Lord, and touch his lips with the fire and coal from
yes,
the altar
God.
Of God.
Granted.
Oh, Lord, help us, Lord, and likewise that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, and we thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice especially that second verse, that last phrase that he used. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, there would be three key words that we would zero in tonight. It would perhaps be the 3 points of this message. Amen. That would be worship, beauty, and holiness. Worship, beauty, and holiness. Worship the Lord. The very term worship means to bow down. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. Many times the Bible defines words right within the context of the Scripture. And that's what it does. Even you can look in Psalm 95 and verse number 6. And it says to worship the Lord and to bow down. In that verse, it talks about that. And that's what worship means. The very definition of worship is to bow down. It is to prostrate. Amen. It recognizes the throne. It recognizes God's superiority. It recognizes the fact that I'm not sufficient within myself to think anything as of myself. But my sufficiency is of God. The thought of worship is on the part of man, the recognition of divine sufficiency. The recognition of his absolute dependence upon the divine sufficiency. The confession that all he needs in his own life, he finds in the life of God. All I need in my own life, I find in the life of God. That's what worship recognizes. There's another psalm, Psalm 42. He said, deep calleth unto deep. That's worship. Deep calling unto deep. From the depths of my sinfulness, I cry out to the depths of his holiness. From the depths of my poverty, I cry out to the depths of the unsearchable riches of Christ. From the depths of my weakness, I cry out to the depths of his strength. From the depths of my insufficiency and my lack, I cry out to the depths of his sufficiency and his abundant supply. Amen. Deep calleth unto deep. That's worship. Amen. That's worship. I worship in the presence of God as I recognize that in him I find everything that life demands. As I find that in myself, I'm incomplete, save as I'm brought into relationship with him. I'm incomplete. One song said, he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Oh, what a reason. Now the Lord gave me this message that is, for a funeral service here a little while back. I was called upon to preach a funeral for a dear holiness lady. They said while the last account of her on this earth, the last thing she was doing, she was worshiping. Said her hands were raised and she was glorifying God. She was speaking words of praise unto the Lord. I don't remember exactly, don't know exactly what she was saying, but that's the last thing, the last account that they had of this dear sister on the earth. She was praising and glorifying and magnifying the name of the Lord. And so the Lord inspired me and led me to this particular passage of Scripture. Only a very few times in the Bible, don't remember now, seemed like it's maybe 4 or 5 times, that this phrase, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, is used in the Scripture. But worship recognizes God's sufficiency. One thing about that dear lady, Sister Frances Hoskins Ramsey was her name, from Anderson, South Carolina. She depended on God or trusted God for healing. She didn't go to doctors. Amen. She depended on the great physician. Amen. Well, you remember the account of Abraham that brings out this thought of worship so beautifully, as the Bible said, the Lord did tempt Abraham. Well, we know God doesn't tempt a man to sin, but it meant he put him to the test. He's going to try the faith of that great father of the faithful. He said, I want you to take your son, Isaac, and offer him for a sacrifice. Now, we remember that Abraham had received Isaac as a promise from God Almighty. He was that miracle child. He was that child that, according to nature, Abraham's too old, and certainly Sarah is certainly too old to have a child. But in answer to the miracle working power of God, and in answer to the promise of God, they've been given this child, Isaac. Now he's told by God to offer him for a sacrifice. You remember that account? As Abraham took Isaac and began to make his way up that mountain, he told his servants, said, tarry here. I and the lad will go and worship yonder. That's what he said. We're going to worship yonder. And he said, we shall come again. Abraham had such faith in God, he believed if he did go through with it and took his son's life, that God was going to raise him from the dead. That's what the scripture tells us. He had that kind of faith, amen, that God was going to resurrect Isaac, his son. On their way up that mountain, you know, I don't know how it all happened, how it all transpired. One fellow said, while Abraham and Isaac were on their way up one side of the mountain, said, God sent that ram up the other side. I don't know how he done it, but when he got there, amen, and drew that knife back, well, on their way, Isaac said, my father, he said, we've got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? He's a very observant young man. Amen. He's a smart young man. He knows what's going on. He noticed. I mean, where's the sacrifice? Amen. You are, son. Well, he drew that knife back. Amen. I'm sure he didn't like that idea too well. Amen. After that. But he drew that knife back. I mean, he's ready to obey God. And God thundered out of heaven. Amen. No, don't lay your hand on him. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw that ram caught in the thicket. And you remember before that, Abraham said, my son, the Lord will provide. And God revealed himself there. That's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, amen, will provide. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Worship recognizes God's sufficiency. It recognizes that in him I find everything that my life demands. He's my Savior. He's my sanctifier. He's my Holy Ghost baptizer. He's my burden bearer, my heavy load sharer. He's my bridge over water. Amen. He's my comfort in time of sorrow. He's a friend to the friendless. He's a mother to the motherless. He's a father to the fatherless. Amen. He's everything I need. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. He's the God of the Bible. If we'll believe him, as Brother Wilson used to tell us, if we'll just believe God, he'll be the us what we believe him to be. He'll be the God of the Bible to us if we believe him for that. Amen. He supplied all of our need. Amen. Hadn't done exactly like I've expected at times. Maybe hadn't done exactly like I wanted him to do at times. And I'm telling you, I hadn't went without. Amen. He's been exactly what we need. Amen. Worship recognizes God's sufficiency. Well, we've got that, you know, that great 11th chapter of Hebrews, that hall of fame of faith, amen, the hall of the faithful, the hall of those that had faith in God. We find there the last photograph, if you will, of the man Jacob. The Bible said that by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and he worshiped, leaning upon the top of the staff. That's the last photograph that we have of Jacob. The Bible said that he worshiped. What a way to leave here. To leave a blessing behind and to leave here worshiping and glorifying God as Jacob did and his sister Frances Hoskins Ramsey did. Amen. I'd like to leave like that, wouldn't you? Amen. Experiencing the blessings of God and imparting those blessings, amen, to those that were following in our footsteps. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he did it by faith. By faith. Worship shows our dependence upon God. Yes, sir. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Worship. Well, we've got a lot of different ideas of worship. I know we call this a worship service. Amen. It looks like our praise is lacking. A lot of times we come in so burdened down and so troubled and so heavy laden with the cares of life. We're hard put to get our hands up. Amen. We're hard put to get many hallelujahs. Or many thank you Jesuses, or many praise the Lords from the lips of the saints, and especially from the hearts of God's people. Looks like too much of the time we've hanged our harps upon the willows. Amen. But worship's not so much what we do as it is what we are. Amen. Goes back to the message last night. Jesus, in that great Sermon on the Mount, he placed the emphasis not upon doing so much as it is being. Amen. And the result of what we are, amen, it'll show forth itself, it'll manifest itself in our actions, in our attitudes, and the things we do will be the result of what we are because of the experience that we have with this great God. The question is asked, when does a man worship? When does a man worship? And the answer is given when he is what God meant him to be. When he is what God meant him to be. I mean, I could come in this service tonight. I could sing all the songs in the church hymnal and never worship. I mean, I don't know them all, so don't get worried. I know a lot of them. Amen. I could be singing for a while. Amen. But I'm not going to try that. But I could do that and never worship. Amen. I could go through all the religious calisthenics. You know, clap at the right time, raise my hands at the right time, stand when I need to, kneel when I'm supposed to. I mean, go through the religious ritual, say the right words, amen, do the right things. I never worship. Amen. Never worship. Amen. Worship. When does a man worship? When he's what God meant him to be. Amen. Then another key word in this phrase, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, is that word beauty. Beauty. Oh, the world's got a different idea of beauty than what God does many times. Beauty. Every manifestation of God is full of beauty. The flower that blossoms on the sod. The flowers that blossom on the sod, they're worshiping. But you ask, how are they worshiping? They are worshiping by their beauty. And what is their beauty? The beauty is the result of the operation of the law of God. And an answer to the laws of their life. Not by effort, not by garments other than the garments of essential glory wrought out from their inner life. They worship. They worship just by simply being what God created them to be. Now, the writer there had in mind the flowers. Even the flowers, I mean, God created that rose to be a rose. Well, it just blossoms out. Even, I mean, the beautiful blossoms, buds and blossoms, those beautiful red leaves and those beautiful white leaves and pink leaves or whatever the case might be. I mean, that rose bush is not trying to be a dandelion. It's not trying to be a lily. Even it's just being a rose. I mean, according to the laws of nature. and according to the laws of nature's God, amen, the great creator, they do exactly what God created them to do. That's the flowers. Well, the trees, the same thing. I mean, those magnolia trees, you know, that's one of the beautiful trees. I mean, it puts off those beautiful shiny leaves and those beautiful white blossoms. Well, it's just according to what God created it to be. Amen, it blooms and blossoms. Amen, it puts off those beautiful shiny leaves. That magnolia doesn't try to be an oak tree. It doesn't try to put on oak leaves. It doesn't try to put on pine needles. No, it just does what God created it to do. Amen, it blossoms and blooms. Amen, and grows. Amen, and waves in the breeze. Hallelujah. Waves its branches. All giving glory to God Almighty. All worshiping the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Yes, sir. All of creation doing exactly even what by nature it was created to do in operation to the laws of nature. And according to the laws of nature's God, the great creator, it's doing exactly what God created it to do. I mean, it told the bird to fly and the bird started flying. Told the fish to swim. Never argued back. Said, I'd like to fly like the bird. I want to walk like the other animals. No, sir. Just started swimming. Amen. Started doing what God created it to do. I mean, that mighty eagle up there in the high heavens, he's not trying to come down and do like the hummingbird. Go from flower to flower and take the nectar from those flowers. No, sir. He's just soaring up above the storm, up above the rain, up in the high heavens, being the king of the bird world, just like God Almighty created him to be. Amen. And he's worshiping the Lord, if you will, in the beauty of his holiness, because in agreement and in unison with the laws of the great creator God, amen, he's doing what God made him to do. All the other creation, yes, sir, told that lion to roar. That lion started roaring. Told the dog to bark. The dog started barking. Amen. Yes, sir, we don't expect that dog to meow like a cat. No, it's a dog. It's going to do what he's supposed to do. Amen. Told that little frog to start leaping, and he started leaping. Amen. Told the bunny to start hopping, and there he went. I mean, that lion, he didn't look out and see that little cute little baby kangaroo and said, oh, ain't he cute? I wouldn't hurt him for a thing in the world. Ain't he precious? You know, that's mama's baby. I wouldn't hurt him for a thing in the world. No, sir. Amen. He's got a nature within him. He says, that's my dinner if I can catch him. I'm telling you, that's my dinner if I can catch him. That's the nature of the beast, as we say. Amen. He's just doing by nature what God Almighty created him to do. I mean, we can just go right down through the line. You can read. It's brought out so vividly in that 148th Psalm. If you want to turn with me, look at it. What I'm telling you tonight, what I'm preaching to you tonight, 148th Psalm, he began and he said, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. He said, let there be light, and the sun started shining. And the moon came out, and the stars appeared to give light in the night. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, sir. All because he commanded, amen, and they obeyed his voice. They done what God told him to do, told them to do. All creation. I mean, the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Oh, if we could hear the rustle of the wind in the leaves, we'd hear it saying, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Oh, if we could hear the clap of the thunder tonight, maybe we'd hear
Spirit roaring out, glory to God in the highest, and worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. If we could see, amen, the flash of the lightning, it would be flashing out, glory to God in the highest. Amen, it would be giving glory and honor to Him that created it. Yes, sir. Oh, if we could hear the clap, amen, of the waves on the ocean. They're clapping out a praise and an honor and a glory. And they're giving worship to the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Yes, sir. As He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. I mean, even the wind obeys His voice. Amen. Do you know God speaking to this great nation? Katie, we had some terrible tornadoes that ripped across this great nation. I don't know if you're familiar with that in your part of the world, but that's those clouds that come down. They turn around and around. They come out. They drop down out of the sky. And I mean, they're powerful. They're devastating. We had, they went down on the record books, I suppose, those especially that ripped across Alabama, that tore up Tuscaloosa. I showed Brother Christie some of the photographs of that, the result, the devastation. I don't remember how many lives it was that that tornado took. But all obeying His word. Coach, Hurricane Katrina. I mean, one of the worst natural disasters to strike this nation. Amen. In history. I mean, destroyed an entire city. Almost wiping it off the map. But stormy wind fulfilling His word. I believe God's speaking. He has His way in the whirlwind, in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. No doubt God's trying to speak to this nation. They're trying to get America's attention. I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. Oh, if I could just find somebody that would worship me, that would do exactly what I created them to do and be. Amen. I want to worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. How do I do that, preacher? By being what God created me to be. Oh, you're looking at a man tonight. I never chose to be a preacher of the gospel. And I'm telling you, God called me. I got a call from another world. Amen. I've got no option in the matter. Amen. As well, I'll preach if I want to. If I don't, I'll quit preaching. No, sir. Woe is unto me. If I preach not the gospel, I'm either going to preach and do God's will and be what God, amen, created me to be, or I'm going to quit preaching and go to hell. I'm telling you, I must do. I'm telling you, I've been touched, amen, by that fire off of heaven's altar. Somebody said, without a woe, don't go. But I've got a woe. I must go. I've been touched. I got a message burning in my soul. I want to tell the world how Jesus saves and Jesus heals and the power of God's still real. Yes, sir. When does a man worship? Seems like I've heard that question before. When does a man worship? When he's what God meant him to be. Now, God doesn't have any trouble out of the dogs and the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars. Amen. Has no problem. They do exactly. Sun comes right up on time, goes down right on time. Amen. I mean, the moon comes out, I mean, right on schedule. Earth's turning, I mean, just right according to the plan of God and the will of God and the word of God. Only one that God has any trouble with is mankind. You and I. Because the difference in all the other creation and mankind is the fact that you and I have got a will. We've got the ability to choose. I can say yes and yes to the will of God. Amen. And be blessed. I can line my life up in agreement to God's word, God's law, and God's spirit. Amen. It'd be what God wants me to be. And I'll find that's the greatest life. Amen. That's the best life. Amen. That's a man that's really blessed. Or I can rebel and refuse and do my own thing and go my own way and find out what a heartache and heartbreak and a tragedy that'll end up being. Amen. I've got the ability to choose. I can worship God. I can refuse to worship God. This is brought out so vividly in the account of that woman at the well. You know, that woman that, I'm telling you, Brother Christian, most folks wouldn't want her in their church. Amen. They wouldn't want this lady. I mean, she wouldn't be welcome in a lot of churches. Oh, she's looking for Mr. Right, evidently. I mean, Jesus finally told her, you've had five husbands. That fellow you're shacking up with, he's not your husband. Who told you that? I perceive you're a prophet. Amen. Yes, sir. I mean, she met this man, and she got to talking about worship. She's looking for Mr. Right. And she began to talk to him about worship. Well, our fathers say that this mountain's a place to worship. And, you know, you Jews, y'all say over there in Jerusalem's a place. But can I sum it up? Really what he told her was this. Listen, little lady, it's not the location. Amen. It doesn't matter so much about Samaria or Jerusalem. It doesn't matter so much about Chambersburg. Amen. Or Danielsville, Georgia. It doesn't matter so much about the USA or Russia. Amen. What's important, it's not the location. Amen. It's not so much about you standing or kneeling. Amen. Running or jumping. Amen. But it's the condition of your heart. Amen. He said the Father seeketh such that worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking some that will worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Amen. Those that will come and say yes to the will of God. Yes to the Spirit of God. Yes to the dealing of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that little lady, amen, somebody said she left her water pot and ran away with the well. Amen. And turned the city upside down, become a greater evangelist than all of the disciples put together. Amen. Won a city to Christ. Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this to Christ? Is not this to Christ? God help us tonight. Worship the Lord. You see, she became a true worshiper because she became what God created her to be. She recognized, amen, I need a Savior. I need a King, amen, to pledge my allegiance to. I found Mr. Right. Come see this man. Thank God. Told me all I ever did. Well, the world's got a different idea of beauty than what God does. It's interesting to me, 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, the scripture said, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. But he said, let it be. Don't make it be. You can't make it shine. You got to get it burning before you can let it shine. Amen. You don't make it be, but just let it be. You get it. You get the experience from God. And then you just let it be. He said, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Even that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. Now we certainly know that the emphasis here he's placing is upon that inner man. The emphasis is not upon the outward. That's what the world places the emphasis upon that beautiful face. Amen. That attractive figure. That handsome appearance. Amen. Oh man, ain't she fit the kill. Look at her. I'm telling you, got that $2,000 dress on. Amen. Got $10,000 worth of jewelry. I mean, got it all painted up and perfumed up and got them $1,000 shoes on. And I don't know if them, you know, I may be way out of line. I don't know. Probably not, though. Amen. According to some, because it would be for us common folks. But the world places the emphasis upon the outward.
But God here places the emphasis upon the inward, upon the character. I can share with you, I thought, some very wise words. He said, true feminine beauty is not dependent on the outward adornment of expensive jewelry and fashionable clothes. True beauty instead resides in outward modesty and the inner loveliness and enduring charm of a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. God places great value upon that spirit. The adjective meek describes a gentle and unassuming disposition that expresses itself in gracious submissiveness and loving concern for others. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. Any way you do it. Any way you want me to do it, that's the way I'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's that meek. The adjective quiet refers to a disposition that is not boisterous and does not create disturbances. In other words, God declares that true feminine beauty is a matter of character and not a matter of decoration. It is a matter of character. I mean, this world that's so fake, that is such a put-on, that is so deceptive. Hey, again, the world places great esteem on personality, on charisma, on charm, on what appears to be. Amen. But God places the emphasis not on what appears to be, but what you are. Amen. On character, not charisma. Amen. On the nature of that individual, not just personality, but the very nature of that individual. Of course, we know, amen, we holiness people know that a worldly appearance certainly is a manifestation of an inward problem. But last of all, he talked about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness, then, is rectitude of character, the condition of beauty. In other words, holiness is when my life is what God created me to be. When I come and I agree with the will of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the law of God, amen, I say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. When your Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And the answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. Amen. We have that great holiness text of Scripture. Amen, especially to us holy rollers. It's familiar. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Romans 12, the first two verses, he gives four great descriptions of holiness that I'd like to bring to our attention tonight in closing. Holiness, first of all, is a dedication. Holiness, amen, is a dedication. It is, next of all, a separation. And then it is a transformation. And last of all, holiness is a demonstration. Amen. Yes, the great apostle said there in Romans 12 and 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not going to force anybody to do anything against their will. He respects the will of mankind. I've never seen him force anybody. We holy roller preachers, sometimes we get a little energetic. Begin to feel the Spirit of God. Even feel a little forceful sometimes. But I've come to realize God doesn't force anybody. He's never made me do anything I didn't want to do. Amen. I don't like this so-called worship where it's like a high-pressure sales pitch. Amen. You feel, you know, just that high-pressured. You got to get up. Everybody got to jump just right. And wave your hand just right. Amen. Jump a little higher and scream a little louder and run a little faster. Amen. I'm telling you, as I mentioned last night, we don't need to work anything up. We can't make it happen. But when we do that, that's pleasing to God. When the prayers and the praise go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah. I found that's the way God operates. That's the way God does things. Hallelujah. So first of all, holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. How do I do that? Amen. By being what God created me to be. Amen. We find we were all born with a sin nature. Amen. That's why He beseeches us, amen, to come and present ourselves. Holiness is a dedication.
Amen. It's a dedication. That means I bring this clay. I bring myself to God. Amen. I say to the Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. I may have to gather the pieces. It may be marred. It may be broken. It may be scarred. It may not look like there's much left, but whatever there is left of it, I bring it to God and I give it to the Lord. And I say, you're the potter and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. I just give him the clay. I dedicate myself. I give myself. That's what that means. I give myself to Him. Amen. He made me. He created me. Now He wants me, amen, with my own will to say yes to His will. I'm going to live by your law. I'm going to live by the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. That's dedication. I dedicate. Then He said, be not conformed to this world. That's a separation. We're not to pattern our lives after Hollywood. Amen. I suppose Katie knows what Hollywood is. I mean, there's some folks out there in California, they make them movies, you know. There's a lot of them bad movies, you know. They're doing a lot of bad things. Well, the Lord don't want us to pattern our life after Hollywood. He don't want us to pattern our life after Mr. Country and Western singer or Mr. Rock singer. We got a lot of folks over here, Katie, in this great nation. I mean, they're trying to pattern their life after some hip-hop rap singer. I mean, they're walking around with their britches. I don't know if y'all got them over there in your part of the world. They don't know how to wear their clothes or pants. Their pants are about to fall off. Do y'all have that trouble over there? And you don't thank God. Thank God. Lord, spare them from it. I'm telling you, would you ever thought folks could get so crazy? Get so insane, I'm telling you. Oh, but they're doing, they're patterning after that drug taken, amen, that sex, crazed rock singer, rap singer, amen, rapper. That's what they're patterning their life after. But He tells us, don't conform your life. Be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern your life. Amen, don't follow the fads and the fashion. Amen. The customs and the laws of this sin-cursed world. I'm telling you, brother, this world is no friend to grace to bring us closer to God. It's an enemy. Amen. The world crucified Christ. Amen. It'll certainly crucify the Christ in us. Oh, there was a time when there was a great distinction. That's the church and that's the world. Oh, but the world got churchy and the church got worldly. And now they become so intermingled. You can't tell the difference. Amen. But I tell you, there's still a difference. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Some things He said, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't act that way. Don't dress that way. Don't talk that way. Amen. Don't say that. Amen. Christ wouldn't do it. It's not God's will. Be not conformed. Holiness is a separation. There are some things He says to cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Put off the old man. Put on the new. Amen. There's certain things. We've got to get rid of it. Cease to do it. Quit doing it. Don't be a part of that. Certain places I can't go. Amen. Oh, that old Christian life. No, not only is it a dedication. Not only is it a separation. But it's a transformation. Oh, you say, no, you lost me on that one. Well, that's a big word. It just simply means a change. Hallelujah. Here's a change, brother. Thank God holiness is a change. Oh, yeah. I lay it all on the altar. I give myself to Him. I separate myself unto God. But I'm telling you, it's a spirit of the living God. That wonderful spirit that we felt moving and working around here last night. That'll touch hearts and touch lives. And all things will pass away. And behold, all things will become new. A transformation.
Amen. I mean, they get that word, they tell me. That Greek word comes from that word metamorphosis. You know, that's that striking change that takes place in that old butterfly. I mean, it's that old earthbound, creepy, crawly caterpillar. But when it comes out of that cocoon, amen, it's no longer earthbound. It's no longer that old ugly, earthbound, creepy, crawly creature that it one time was. Amen, now it's liberated. Amen, a beautiful display of the handiwork of our great Creator. Now it lives its life up above the earth, fluttering about, amen, demonstrating the beauty and the glory and worshiping the Lord, if you will, in the beauty of His holiness. And that's what God wants to do in hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls. Amen, to change our nature. Amen, to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. To raise us up and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. The things I once loved, I now hate. Even the things I once despised, amen, and couldn't stand, now it is a delight. Thank God, I delight to do thy will, oh my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Last of all, holiness is a demonstration. It's a demonstration. That's what the world's looking for. Amen. Can the world see Jesus in you? He said that you may prove, Romans 12:2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. A demonstration. I'm telling you, there's something different about that Christie. He's not the same. Oh, he don't act like he's something got a hold of him. What happened to you, Christie? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Thank God I've come in contact. Amen. Like the woman at the well, I just met a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I just met him. Hallelujah. Oh, he's just revolutionized my life. Thank God the world's, they'll know the difference. Amen. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. I'm telling you, that ain't the same Peter. That ain't the same cursing, swearing, denying Peter, amen, lying Peter. No, sir, standing up. I mean, one time, amen, blushed and was backward and bashful in the presence of a little maiden. But now, standing up in the presence of multitudes, amen, preaching with power and authority. What is that? That's a demonstration. Oh, God, have mercy. Amen. We're here on this world, church, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Amen. To influence. Amen. To be a preservative in the midst of this moral and spiritual corruption. To be a light in the midst of this spiritual midnight and moral darkness that's all around us. Oh, glory to God. What is it? It's when I'm what God created me to be. That's when I worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. That's when I worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Lynn's coming to get us a song tonight. I'd like for the Lord to have His way once again in this service. Oh, the world's got a different idea of beauty than what God does. The Lord said, He beautified the meek with salvation. I'll tell you what was beautiful. That night when you walked down that aisle, you as a sinner, you as a rebel against God, you was walking in your own rebellious ways, but you heard a voice saying, come unto me, I will give you rest. And you said yes to that voice. You come and you knelt at that altar, maybe with hot burning tears streaming down your face, with hands uplifted. You surrendered. You began to dedicate. You begin to separate as far as you knew. And God worked a wonderful work. And there was a shine that He put on that face. I've seen it like flipping a light switch on. That face lit up. Hallelujah. Like Moses' face began to glow. Oh, there's a change. He said He beautified the meek with salvation. Amen. That's when a man really worships God. When he begins to be exactly what God intends for him to be. Amen. Hey, God bless you. I hope we've said something to help you. I've tried to obey God tonight. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I want us to just ask the Lord, if you would, let's ask the Lord to have His way around these altars tonight. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit. We thank You for what You've done last night. Lord, we're needing Your help again tonight. We realize, Lord, we're poor and needy. We are helpless. We can do nothing of ourselves. Would You move here among us? Would You help us tonight? Would You touch us, God, as only You can? Lord, it's time for Thee to work. We need You to work among us. Revive Thy work, Lord. Oh, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. We need You working among us here tonight, confirming Your word with signs and wonders, divers miracles, according to the Holy Ghost, the will of God, that Your will be done in every heart tonight, every soul tonight. Oh, we thank You for it, God. Would you like to come tonight? Would you like to come and kneel? Bow down to worship, to be what God would have us to be. Is that your desire tonight? When does a man worship? When he's what God meant him to be. When I'm what God created me to be. That's when I worship, Brother Sonny. I want to be that. I want to do that. God, deal with us. I don't want God to quit dealing with me, do you? He can talk to our hearts. He can deal with us about the way we're living. He wants to help us make it to heaven. Don't you want to be in His will? Don't you want to live according to His word? Deal with us, Holy Ghost. Work among us, Spirit of God. Can we just welcome Him tonight? Oh, maybe just wave back to Him. Lord, we welcome You. Spirit of the living God, You're welcome in this service tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Oh, we want You to be Lord here. Where the Lord is, even where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty also. We want You to have Your Lordship here tonight in our lives, in our hearts. We don't want to refuse and rebel. We want to be obedient. We want to say yes to the will of God. Yes to the Spirit of God. Have Your own way, Lord. Have Thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Oh, hallelujah. We thank You tonight. We thank You tonight. We thank You tonight. Worship. Have Your way. If you want to come, come on. If you'd like to come to these altars tonight, you want to kneel, you want to stand, whatever you feel like doing. We just want to please God. We want to do His will. Much as I know the will of God, I want to do His will.
A living.
I can't deny him. I'll always.
message tonight. How that we are able to worship. Amen. In spirit and in truth. Amen. To be what the Lord desires us to be. Amen. You know, the Lord, He desired a fig tree to bear figs. But whenever He came on that fig tree that day, and from a distance, I mean, it looked like everything, it was flourishing. The leaves were green, and it looked like, you know, it would be a place to find some good figs. But when He got there, there was none. Amen. And He cursed the tree. God was not pleased with that tree that was to bear fruit. Amen. That was not bearing fruit. And the same it is with a child of God. He desires us to bear fruit, to be fruit-bearing Christians. And if we're not worshiping Him. Amen. He desires us to be a fruit-bearing Christian and give, amen, of ourselves and present ourselves as He was preaching tonight. Thank God. And be what the Lord desires. Amen. That we can worship Him. Thank God. He's pleased with those that will worship. And He's seeking such to worship. And it's been great to be here tonight. I appreciate the good message. Appreciate what Brother Phillips has brought before us tonight. Amen. That we can be encouraged. And amen. Tomorrow night, let's come back in this worship. The Lord, in the house of the Lord, that's come with singing, that's come with praise upon our hearts and thanksgiving into the house of the Lord, that we can worship Him. Thank God. Amen. Be praying for the service tomorrow night, and pray that the Lord would remove all the hindrances from those that are planning on coming. You know, I find at times people say, well, you know, I was planning on coming, but this is came up, and I couldn't because of this or that and the other thing. And, you know, the devil sets all kinds of things out there to hinder us from being where the Lord wants us to be and where we can worship Him. So pray that the Lord remove those hindrances, that we can have a good turnout tomorrow night. We'll see the Lord work and move once again here in the house of the Lord. And amen. I'm excited for what the Lord's doing. Amen. For the Spirit of the Lord that's here, that's moving and working in our midst. Amen. So let's stand together as we worship Him tonight, giving Him the praise. Let's thank Him for what the Lord has done and for what the Lord has spoken to our hearts. And Lord, tonight we thank You, Lord, for